Eating pickled okra.
They're not here. They're not here.
Is that me, Bob?
Yeah.
Finally, Bert gets in. Go ahead, Bert.
Well, it's Bert time. Yeah. Bert, is eating pickled okra cooking?
Eating pickled okra is not cooking. Eating pickled okra is eating.
Oh, okay, so it's not cooking. Okay, good. We were confused. Humans today, we don't quite understand it anymore.
Hey, Ion, I want to know more about Nicholas of Cusa, Cardinal Nicholas of Cusa. Is he occupying a meat sack at the moment?
That's funny, because he comes in and out.
Is he working for Bob?
Everybody is.
I am the Pharaoh, Bert. Everybody's working for me.
Okay.
But, yes, Nicholas is a good guy. I was reading about him this week myself. He wrote about the doctrine of learned ignorance. He had a sense of humor,
yes.
Bert.
He comes in and out. Is that a sign that he's transferring between different worlds? Is he involved with the, what you mentioned, these slip dimensions?
It's the union of opposites. Doctrine of learned ignorance.
You know that LaRouche says that Cusa as a Platonist is against the yin-yang guys, the complementarity, the doctrine of opposites. And Ion is saying here that's what Cusa is into. The very thing LaRouche says that Cusa is not into.
That's right. It's a theosophy.
You know what, Bert? Platonism is generally associated with mysticism, theosophy, and all the kook stuff.
Yeah.
Aristotle's a practical guy.
In Neoplatonic tradition.
So LaRouche comes along and says that Plato is not a mystic and represents some other thing. It does have slight over mystical because he's talking about the archetypes, but the way he describes Aristotle may be the way Nicholas of Cusa is.
Yes.
Anyway, that's just a word of caution there. At least Ion's reinforcing that.
So what is written about them actually is a misinterpretation, meaning that it's the exact opposite then.
It's just Pythagorean notions. Oh, yes.
Or these guys are not as categorizable as LaRouche makes them. They got a little bit of Aristotelianism. They got a bit of Plato. The major environment. But the supplementary is newspaper. That means LaRouche is a philosopher of journalism. He deals with innuendo.
Can I comment something?
Yes.
We were reading LaRouche this week, and we were commenting in Take Today and LaRouche, and in the Frank Zappa covers, there is this meme of the hidden hand and the synarchist and all these hidden groups that were sort of programming the environment, and how we have come to a point where we have to become the satellite conductors. So this hidden hand that was conducting is going to be replaced by the new situation in which the audience is in the middle of a Fazula or a Zappa concert, and we all have to become the satellite conductors.
Right.
And I see what you did with the chart, and your metanoias, your repentances are more complete than Mars or McLuhan or LaRouche or anybody, because the chart is a tool in which we can go back and look into all these things.
So let's not leave Ion out. Okay, that's wonderful. That's Bob talk. What is Ion? Ion would not agree with any of that.
We like the Fasola part.
Oh, you hit it right there.
In this weird situation that is the interval between the ascension and until we ascend, many were wondering how to educate themselves, what to do, because there is no point in specializing and having a career.
You can't have a career. They're coming back. They're teaching streetcar conducting. They don't even have streetcars anymore. Well, I'm serious. Now you do Google surveys and get money so you can buy things your own damn self on Google. And you do Google surveys to get those. And when God takes a dump on your head, you crash it into a hat that says, when God takes a dump on your head, you crash it into a hat that says, and that, now people are making money
but
doing
that's
that.
That's the problem with the Google. For example, LaRouche says we should go back to a classical education, and McLuhan proposes these explorations and dialogue to prepare to be the satellite conductor.
Yeah.
And everybody now just Googles things, but that
it's a synthesized renditional components. Synthesized renditional components.
I just made up a new phrase.
So does LaRouche. Why can't we?
It's the same song played over and over and over.
Yes, and you didn't realize, but we are already in the Zappa noise.
I knew we were. Yeah, I do.
Conducting the noise.
But let Bert get some questions. He hasn't been on. Have you talked to Ian in weeks, Bert? Have you keep
last
on?
Last week. It's been about 3 weeks.
Last week.
No.
Okay, go ahead,
okay,
Bert. Ask some questions,
just,
Bert.
Just sorry for the interruption, but what is renditions? What was it?
And you're probably not going to get to this week either, so that's good for you.
But you wonder what the word synthetic renditional something.
Is that your proposition of education, what we think is education in the meantime?
Well, if it's education, you're not very good at it.
In the meantime, until we ascend, people is wondering how to prepare to be the satellite conductors, and you say these new words.
Well, you tie your shoes, and if you can't tie your shoes, you practice. And when you tie your shoes enough, over and over and over and over again, you become an ability to be tying your shoes, what we say, by rote. And we told you, and then we told you what we're going to tell you, and then we told you again that we told you, and then we tell you what we're going to told you, and then we told you that we told you, and after we told you, then we told you one more time that we told you, because we're going to tell you one more time that we told you. And then when we tell you that we told you, that's learning. That's rote learning, by rote.
I want to talk about
that a few times. When you have to wait till Roxy gets through before you can speak. So make sure Roxy's taken care of, for sure. For sure. But that's how you learn, by rote. Over and over and over.
Yes, like Frank Zappa said, everything is practice if it's not a concert.
Well, yeah. Practice makes practice. Perfect practice makes perfect.
Okay, Ion.
Okay.
I want to talk about the winds.
Hey, how you
the last
doing?
Time
did you ask Roxy if she was through?
Roxanne, are you through?
Yes, please.
Okay, yes.
Okay, Ion, the last time
last time I
engaged you, you told me about I need to know which way the winds are blowing, and you posted some electron configurations. Were those electron configurations custom made by you? Because I couldn't find them on the website. I couldn't find those exact diagrams.
Oh, no. Send them back to us, and we'll put them in the Wikipedia so you'll have a point of reference to find them. We are so sorry. Yeah. We've been under a lot of stress and pressure here in Non-Physical. Everything is in the goddamn Wikipedia. And when we start putting things out there, Miss Wikipedia, Mr. Snowden is still stuck. He can't help us like we've got no help. They've taken all the help away from us. We don't have anybody help do anything. We're having to do our own goddamn Google surveys anymore. It is ridiculous what Non-Physical is having to do. We're having to undo the cloud. We're working out the cloud. We're trying to save what's left of Barclays. They're just pieces floating around. We're trying to save all that, straighten it out. The European Union don't draft the hail. The mountain is pissed off. They're about to close China. Jack Ma had an ingrown hair on the side of his neck that was the most incredibly putrid thing you've ever seen in your entire life. A sebaceous cyst, as it were. Stunk to high heaven. We had to deal with all that. So if you'll please send that back to us, we will quickly, post haste, ad hoc, form a committee and have that put in the Wikipedia so you'll be able to find it. Empirically reference and cross-reference everything up to the Ottoman fucking Empire. Promise.
Were the winds the catalyst for the gravitational wave observation 2 weeks ago? Okay. I want to talk about the octag rule. it's no longer applicable. Is that because of the valence shell changing for the noble gases?
Because of Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh.
In November 2014, you told me that the water on the planet is becoming a weak solution of hydrogen peroxide. Is that still the case, or is it, has it changed?
Yes.
Has the water changed?
No, it's changing, but it's not completely changed. But that's what everybody's fussing about. That's why they're having to take pills and things. So funny. No, we're serious.
The water...
You don't have to take all that crap. If you just ate dirt... People, kids eat mud pies. They don't eat mud pies. Now, if you eat mud pies, now you die. Well, no, you wouldn't, but you don't eat mud pies, but it's a good thing because there's no nutrition in the dirt anymore anyway. But you used to eat mud pies. People made mud pies all the time, ate them. But they don't anymore. So that's the point.
I want to talk about Fringe Season 5, Episode 5, The Merge of the Five Bodies. When Peter inserted that watcher device in the base of his skull, was that the merger of the five bodies?
No, that was the inversion of the android meme.
The cube device that the watchers used to open up the wormhole, was that a sign of the merger of the five bodies?
Yes, that's how it was coalesced.
That cobalt blue cylinder that was used to open up, was that a representation of the iCell?
No, that was referenced in Letters of Transit, Season 4.
The iCell was referenced in Season 4, the Letters of Transit. That's a pretty interesting point.
This lays it out perfectly because when you watch this, it seems to be crazy. They're looking at what's happening in 2036. But they're in a different time. They're actually in 2015 then, when they're showing it from then. And then they have to go forward to 2036 for when it changes. That's the part where the observers then have to be obfuscated, which then takes them out of all the time. So September just not able to connect at any level. And once September is gone, then Peter and Olivia's baby gets to stay.
Going back to that cube device, they said that it was a strange alloy with no magnetic properties, but it was used to open the door. Is that a sign of an allotrope?
We don't like your definition, so we're going to say no. But if Bob asked the exact same question, we'd say absolutely, because Bob means it different than you do.
Good example of why everybody has to ask questions.
But for you, it's no. Bob asked the same question, it'd be yes, because he'd spend 2 weeks trying to figure out what an allotrope was.
So it's my position of what an allotrope is why I get a different answer than Bob. Is that correct, Ryan?
Computer says yes.
I have a question about lactic acid. You told me that lactic acid will not build up until the electrolytes are balanced. Are albumin and bilirubin have an effect on lactic acid also?
Yes. CH3
ion.
Yes.
Bilirubin. Is that all?
No.
Can you continue?
That's a methane group, right, ion?
Yes, CH3, CH, OH, CO2H.
That's a change in the lactic acid. That's the effect that albumin and bilirubin is having on the lactic acid.
Well, the molar mass is going to change.
Do you understand that, Count? Effect of albumin?
No.
You're talking about the effect of albumin on something, Bert.
Yeah, on lactic acid, albumin and bilirubin.
Oh, on lactic acid.
Affecting lactic acid.
So what is that formula? Is that the effect or is that the solution? What's the point of the formula?
It's lactic acid.
So you gave the formula for lactic acid?
Yes.
Big deal. Is that a big deal, Carol? Yes, he just did it to show he could.
Mm-hmm. And Palmer, we put a picture of it on your little goober snatch.
But Bert, what did you learn from that?
I just asked if it was affecting lactic acid, and I confirmed it. And it just gave me the...
Okay.
That's all.
But what you really should be asking is about how lysine affects it. That's what you really should be asking about.
How is lysine affecting lactic acid?
C6H14N2O2.
Okay, this is the same subject, because lactic acid creates the ATP. Brian asked you about how do you kill the blood, and you mentioned ATP. So this change you just mentioned about lysine is affecting the ATP then in the production of lactic acid.
Well, it's trying to knock out the arginine, the NC104. NCIO4.
Knocking out the arginine. That used
to
be considered an essential amino acid in the muscle building days, early days, but there's no longer the case.
Well, see, lysine inhibits the HSV growth.
HSV growth, I don't know that. I'll have to look.
Well, you can look it up, can't you? So that's wonderful. Are we going to tell you, and then you can accuse us of looking it up? What's the difference? You ain't going to believe
me. No, I'll look into it.
It's fun. And then if you don't like your answer, don't worry. We'll change that in the Wikipedia, so you'll be our answer.
Of course.
So then we'll prove ourselves by ourselves. So if you can only get the scriptures to do that, we'd win the day, wouldn't we? We just rewrite the damn thing to make it say what we thought it should say that it said, that we say that it said. And that's why we call on Galileo to straighten shit out for us all the time. It's great. How very Darwinian of you.
Over the course of the last three times you were on, you mentioned about no continuums. And a while ago, you mentioned about transdimensional particles. When you said there's no continuum, is that a sign that there's existence of transdimensional particles?
Tropane.
Tropane is a group of alkaloids derived from it. What is it? Alkaloids. Tropane alkaloids occur in plants of the family. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
So nitrogen bridge. The nitrogen bridge is between C1 and C4. So this is related to carbon?
Dude. You're so good. You're good. We're going to buy you a Wikipedia.
You mentioned that the transdimensions particles, they're being created now. Is that what's taking place while there's no continuum, no more continuums?
Okay, we love that, but do it a different way, because you're going to get lost when we answer it.
Okay.
Do you get that, though?
Yes, I do get that, and I'm going to something that you said that I'm quoting. I'm quoting you. Transdimension are particles inhibit particle reciprocal positions within the ionosphere that allows matter to be disposed between worlds.
Yes, perfect. Now, that we like those words.
You also said if you get rid of time, quarks don't work anymore.
Mm-hmm. If you notice, no one even wears watches anymore. They depend on the cloud. Do you realize we could shift time and take a minute, an hour, or a week out of every day, and you'd never notice? You wouldn't even notice.
Ion, I have a question about slippage, or that, what is it, the slip dimension. I experienced something at work where I know a file we didn't receive. There was a file that was sent to our organization, and I know we didn't receive it, but when I looked in the file was saved, the date stamp, but there's no way that we received it. Is that a sign of a slip dimension?
Yes, you're welcome.
Okay.
Well, you can't have proof if you don't have it documented. If it's not documented, if you didn't receive it. If you didn't receive it, how are you going to document it?
Is that also what I'm seeing also at work, where my colleague will save a file? I think he's saving it on the same day, like the same date, but when I look at it, it's the date behind with a timestamp. Is that a sign of a slippage as well?
Yeah, it happens in Nova Scotia all the time. They think it's a crosswalk to another dimension.
When you said that slip dimension, that made me think of that because it was really strange. And that happened in December. So that's so this is going to be a continual occurrence then.
Well, don't bring everybody into it. Some people are already killing themselves because their dog food doesn't taste good anymore. So don't do it like that. And, you know, Bob wouldn't make it through the rest of the week if they turned Lappert's off until he turns off Lappert's. So, you know, this Mars company almost went out of business when he stopped eating the Snicker bars. But then they had Snicker ice cream bars, and those were good, but he was eating those by the case. And so then he got off those, and those declined, too. So if Bob doesn't fuck with it, it doesn't fuck very long.
This week in the news, Snicker bars were in the news that they're recalling them from Switzerland because they had found some glass or something in them. Is that true?
We just told you that they're suffering because Bob doesn't eat them anymore.
So that's why they're recalling them.
Right, nobody's buying them. Nobody else has any money, so why would they buy it? But meanwhile, you can't get Auckland Way now because they're buying all of that. So what you going to do?
Ion, in Fukushima, the taxi drivers were experiencing ghost riders where someone would come in, order the cab, they would start driving down the street, and then the taxi driver would look, and the client was gone. Is that a sign that Fukushima is becoming like a middle ground?
Nope.
Those occurrences of the taxi drivers reporting ghost riders, did that actually occur? Did they experience that phenomenon?
Yes, they did. But it's not breakage or slippage factor or trans-dimensional hemorrhoidism.
That's just, what is it? So is the Fukushima like a portal, a gate, a large gate now?
Good Lord, no. Why would that be? The rods are just going in the middle of the earth.
Yeah, that would be the RNA drops affecting that area because it's eating all the hydrogen, the H197, so then it affects human form.
True.
Or interdimensional slippage.
The drops there do knock your socks off.
So they're affecting that area extremely.
Are we supposed to talk about your selling over there, Bob? We aren't supposed to talk about that, are we?
Well, that I'm selling what? Over there?
Nothing.
We're not
selling anything
over there.
No, we're not selling anything.
We're not selling anything over there. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're not selling anything over there. Yeah.
That's not true. But, okay. Well,
you mean
good.
The drops? Just selling the on. Drops? Oh, yeah, yeah.
No,
that's
I don't
news
know.
Sold over
oh,
there.
No. Oh, no.
A keto
we never sell those over there. No, we can't sell over there. Okay, we won't talk
so,
about
so
that.
I'm, so, Bert, I'm saying that the interaction of the drops with the ice cell with our world.
Redact,
happening right there in Fukushima with interdimensional effects happening.
Hidden securely in a peat bog.
Okay, this is my last question I have.
This is not our last answer.
In early January, I saw a TED Talk from the head physicist at CERN. He was claiming at that time that there are errors in physics. Was that a cause of you letting them see the force last year?
Yeah, and Bob putting the cookie crumbs in the Hadron Collider. Don't think we're going to let you forget about that, Bob.
No, I know. That was early days. I was feeling my oats then, doing a lot of fellatio.
Yeah, oh, bless his little fellatio heart. Bob done got him a big old word, y'all. Look at there.
Flamenco.
Yeah, I meant flamenco. Yeah, I meant flamenco.
Pickled in flamenco, right? Well, save up, Bob, and we'll get you some ermine, Bob. It'll be better.
All right. But Bert, so this guy came on, he said something odd was happening in physics. And you're asking what he's noticing, it was caused by us.
Yes. And I ain't confirmed.
So he was putting out a warning to people? Was he puzzled?
Yes.
What was his point?
he was saying basically that what they know is physics is not really physics.
You mean what the audience knows is physics? What the audience knows is physics?
Yes, what the audience knows is physics.
It's not physics. So what did he say what the audience knew? What did he call it?
Well, he was just stating, he lists two dangers. He said there was danger number one, the strength of the Higgs field. The first dangerous number on his Cliff's list is a value that represents the strength of what physicists call the Higgs field, an invisible energy field not entirely unlike.
Okay, let's ask Ion about that. Is there a danger in the Higgs field, Ion? What are they getting backwards, upside down? What are they inverting on with that situation, that observation?
Well, what they've got wrong is they're finding out that what we've been saying is the case all along.
They don't get that. What you've been saying is the case, and they don't get that, so they think the Higgs field has some...
Well, but see, now, they got to change gravity. You change gravity. Well, you have already.
Change gravity.
Because, see, the doublet doesn't work anymore, Bob. Hendiades has trumped the doublet.
The doublet. Oh, he said trebler?
No, the trebler.
No. Has the trebler replaced the doubler, Ion? Oh, he was saying doublet.
The doublet. The bosons, the gauge for mass, is now massless.
Yeah.
So that doesn't work.
So
if you have the Higgs quantum field, the Higgs field says that it must permeate all space to show like that's how it works, and the same spontaneous symmetry breakage or breaking during interactions. Well, it doesn't, and that's what they're now saying, that it's it just doesn't break anymore.
And doublet is your word for Hendiades.
Well, Hendiades is replacing the doublet.
Good evocation there, Bert.
The SU2 doublet.
One other item on that physicist's list. The first one he listed, what Ion just confirmed about, they said the danger of the strength of the Higgs field. The second danger was the strength of dark energy. And they're calling that the worst theoretical prediction in the history of physics. That dark...
No, we mock it. Whatever they're concerned about, we know we're having...
Yes.
They're missing
what they really should be afraid of, if they're going to be a skeered, is virtual particles.
Damn.
See, Bob's running into that right now. Bob has the scenario. He plays out the scenario, and he likes it, and he goes with it, and he does it, then he implements it. Then there's one little gnat's hair involved in the mix, which then changes all the predicated outcomes. And the next thing you know, he went to sleep, had some flatulence, and the entire world is destroyed. Bloom. It's like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. They blew up the world when he had a little flatulence. And it really stank, and it was pretty ugly and pretty nasty, and it blew up the whole damn world. And then he's sad that he blew up the damn world, and he doesn't want there to be a non-world world at the world. So he gets up out of his blown-up bed and says, well, let's see if we can do this again. And he redoes it one more time and gauges up his gauge boson and see if he can refigure or re-triangulate his face before the flatulence. The force carrier cannot hold the perpitude of the outside parameters. And when it cannot hold the outside parameters, it becomes a void into itself. And a void into itself is not antimatter. It is, wait for it, a virtual particle. Better be careful if Bob does.
Thanks, Ion.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Are you?
Very good.
You had a pretty good run.
Okay, so let's try Jermaine.
She's broke down with colonies, Bob. She's got too many colonies.
All right, 213. Who's 213-337?
Bring on the Leptons.
Okay, 480-665. Who's that, Mark Sweat?
886-7539-8675309.
Nothing there, Phoenix?
8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-8-8-7-5-3-0-9-
Ooh, you have no idea, honey. Let me tell you, if you knew what we knew. The living is sweet in your world.
So I still ain't seen nothing yet, huh?
True. You and Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Kinder Morgan.
Yeah.
Follow up questions about that. Now, you
know you're going to jail if you trade on this now, because this is very inside.
Well, that's not what I'm asking. I'm curious about all those, that infrastructure they got going, all those pipelines. There's a lot of pipelines. Do they have the ability to transport syngas, just like natural gas and petroleum and crude oil?
Yes.
Will they transport syngas in the next 3.5 or so years or more?
Do you want them to?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
Okay, then here's the better question. What the hell difference does it make to you if they do or they don't?
It don't make any difference.
Well, you're just sick and sitting here going to send thousands of people to damn jail over us answering questions of Kinder Morgan.
You're
going to trade on
Got
stuff.
It.
And then you turn around and ask the one question that matters. It makes them important or not important from an insider trading. And after hours trading just went up 3 bumps. Just that conversation. Check it, you damn little cookie box. The trading went up 3 points just right there over that conversation. Then you want to ask us the question, and we say, would you want to or not want to?
And
you wouldn't have a clue if he was on fire, whether they did or not. Who knows? They hadn't been doing it all along. You don't know that either.
I'm suffering. You got me in perspective now. Okay, I've changed my perspective, Ian. Thank you very much.
Yay, nice. So what we're really trying to say is if you got it, you might as well hold on to it.
That sounds like a really good idea. And I kind of follow that and apply it always, like even this week with other things that are going on. If I got it, go with it.
Okay.
Remind me of things that are significant that I'm not aware of right now that would be really useful in the next 5 to 7 days.
Oh, you mean about Amos Wentworth?
We can use Amos Wentworth if that works.
Okay.
Now, when you talked about Amos Wentworth a while ago, a few weeks ago.
Hog.
Now, when I looked it up, I found a short story by Jack London written in 1911 called The Mistake of Creation. Was the Andy Griffith Show episode based on that Jack London short story?
There was one. Then you can do the St. Germain Wentworth Academy, too.
St. Germain Wentworth Academy.
Amos St. Germain Wentworth. Mm-hmm.
Is that an actual name of a school? Was Amos Wentworth simply a character in a short story, or is there more to Amos?
No. Verbush of Belgrade.
Verbush? With a V?
F. F as in F. U R B U S H. Flatbush of Belgrade.
And when that was in the time of Saint Germain, as we know Saint Germain to have lived in this?
Well, it was 5 years before the Civil War. We don't know when your Civil War was. Some people are still fighting that Civil War, too, so it's a very long run.
I'll set that aside. We'll move on, and I'll look later on that one, huh?
Be honest to drop it in your inbox. Sometimes that helps. We've done that before.
In Bob's inbox?
But then you get it. No, your inbox. Remember when your spam got clogged and everything went into spam? That's because we sent you stuff and you dumped it. And we said, oh, hell no. No, 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 no. So that little hiccupy thing you had, we did that.
I wondered about that because, you know, I followed
damn Skippy. We send you something, bless God. You better look at it, sugar love.
Hungawa. All right, then. Wow. Well,
I've been getting a new computer, and so soon shall you may also.
Deb West emails kept going into spam ion.
Everybody did before it was over with, didn't it?
It's not over with then.
Well, you're going to answer them now, so it's okay.
All right.
Put it in the Wikipedia. What more do you want?
What did we put in the Wikipedia?
The answer to your question.
About this week?
Yes.
Which question? I've asked you a few questions.
Yes, this week.
Okay. And you put it in the Wikipedia.
Yeah, but you actually haven't asked this one yet. And don't, because we've already put it in the Wikipedia, and we put it in your inbox, and you dumped it in spam, and you got your system messed up because you were about to mess up. So there's always room for J-E-L-L-O.
Jiggle, jiggle. Okay.
Mm-mm. Unless you're poor and you make the Jell-O too weak to stretch it out, then it makes it watery and won't make Jell-O.
Got to have the gelatin part.
Proportion correctly or it'll be watery.
You're doing a lot of recipe. I've never heard you list off recipes like you did tonight. Is this a new thing? Are we going to be getting recipes for stuff? Which
no, I was
me,
just telling you. Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Wait, you're driving this train.
You know, there's a lot of popularity in fermenting vegetables now.
Oh, God, don't do that. It'll give you the yeast. You'll die of damn yeast. Don't do that. Eating the rotten stuff. Just let it go in the sewage and eat the sewage. Don't go through all that. You'll have to buy all this stuff, and you'll have the candy ass or candy ass or candy
no,
daddy.
No, all you do is... You just do the raw vegetables and layers of salt. But there's no brine. It's not brine.
Oh, okay. Well, you can keep the yeast out of it. Then okay, then good for you.
Well, are you fermenting barley and brine or something?
We are not.
Are pickles or that brine process you keep talking about?
No.
Is that with...
No.
No.
That helps with acid reflux and indigestion and GERD disease.
That's a vinegar base.
Yeah, we like it.
And that pH related, that reduces acid,
yeah.
Right? Or neutralizes acid.
Well, it neutralizes it in an unstable field. See, your body's unstable. It's changing, especially if you're ascending. It's a bit volatile. So the little things, now the sensitive ones, and we said go and kill them all, get rid of them. It's like your health care in America. It's just going to clog up the waiting rooms with sick people. You can have perfect managed health if you don't have any sick people. So the Dr. Dean is taking on the thing with the complete reform is to eradicate the planet of sick people. If everybody's well, you don't need mass health care. Great. Then if you want to have something cosmetically worked on, go to the plastic surgeon and get pumped up, and it's great. There's no lines, no waiting, and there's enough propofol for everybody.
See, that's the thing. That brings on a lot of chaos, though. Tell us more about the chaos that we're not going to pay attention to as all of these industries collapse and the new world
comes on for Sunday.
Sugar, it's already happening. I mean, it's happened. Just look, President Trump's already added 10 feet to the wall just this week.
Let's talk about numbers in the chapter 20 and verse 11. You had me read off Numbers 20, 11. And Moses struck the rock twice. Is the year 2011 representational of Moses striking the rock the first time?
Nope.
So chapter 20, verse 11 doesn't correspond to the year 2011 in any way?
No.
Has Moses already struck the rock twice?
Yes, bad things happened.
Does that represent the two wars, the war in heaven and the war on earth? Moses striking the rock twice, or is that different?
Well, we don't know. It certainly shook Maui.
Yeah, okay. I should not think about 2011 there, because I'm thinking Fukushima, you know, Oahu was supposed to be gone and nothing really happened then. But I should drop.
Yes, it did. It was gone. Guanalea was about wiped off the planet. Yeah, it is completely new. It's not the same. Have you been? It's not the same.
Yeah, I've been there since. It's not the same. Well, I wasn't there before, so I wouldn't know.
Right, it's very different. They don't know. They don't even go outside anymore.
Who do you say doesn't go outside anymore?
What you don't.
Oh, I go outside.
Do you notice a difference in Guanalea or in Wailea before 2011, prior to 2011, Bob, and now?
The weather's changed, yep. It has changed slightly. Something's happened.
The weather has changed on Maui since Moses struck the rock.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many mosquitoes in Maui Meadows, you can't even walk through there.
There's no mosquitoes where we are.
You're not in Maui Meadows either.
No, that is true.
Bob doesn't go out of the house. Most of Maui, Bob has never been to. That's what we're trying to say.
Yeah, I do my route to the beach and come back. I don't explore much.
Right, that's the point. But he says his house is at the beach, so he's right there, so there's no problem.
Okay, so, Eliza, start asking questions.
Hi, Aya.
Hey, honey. How's your mom or Nam?
They're good. Thank you. So, someone who was influential in Thomas Jefferson's life just recently caught my attention, David Hume. He wrote six volumes of what is called History of England. Now, here's the thing. When Jefferson first came across his books and read them, he said he devoured them and he read them with enthusiasm. But years later, as he got older, he just started feeling resentment towards what David Hume was saying. David Hume was a Scottish philosopher.
We are aware.
Historian. Yeah, yeah. Of course you are. So he said what Hume's books were doing was poisoning unwary minds, and the books were poisoning unwary readers, and Jefferson was becoming more and more vocal about it as he became older. The resentment that he felt, he said that the books seriously undermined the prevailing Whig view of the British Constitution. I was curious to know if Hume and Jefferson had some sort of history or interactions together, because at first Jefferson was all enthusiastic about reading his books, and then he just felt completely opposite about them and felt resentment towards them. So is there anything you can say on that?
The connection was William and Mary.
William of Orange? the king who came in from Europe in 1688?
The college, yes.
William and Mary College. But it refers to them.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Well, Jefferson, what's his date? You know his dates, Eliza?
David Hume. He was, I think, born in 1711. And he died about 30 years after Jefferson was born around that time. He died 1776.
Jefferson was born April 13, 1743.
Right. Now look up William and Mary College. William III and Queen Mary II. Is that William of Orange, the first guy? Did he become a third in English history? Yeah, William III is the guy that comes over. You know, LaRouche should say it was a coup. They brought over this guy from, he was the Prince of Orange, Stadtholder of Holland, Zeeland, Utrecht, Gelderland, and the Dutch Republic. And King of Ireland until, yeah. So he, there must have been a couple of Williams in England before him.
Is this King William III?
Yeah, that's who William and Mary, the college, is named after.
Yeah, and Queen Mary II.
Well, I don't know why I'm getting hung up on the third. He could be, he was the third from Holland. I guess he kept this, the same number. But you usually see in history, he's called William, just William. So I don't know what he was called in England.
You should hear what the Barbary pirates called him.
Well, look, as King of Scotland, he's known as William II.
In Morocco, Algeria, Tunis, and Tripolania.
Ian, you're saying that that's the connection? Because it does say William and Mary educated U.S. Presidents Thomas Jefferson, James Monroe, and John Tyler, key figures. So that's the connection, the education that Jefferson got, or was there something deeper?
Well, the education is what slowed it down so he could figure it out. Because you got to realize he had access at Monticello to do lots of things. He was doing those things, but not from Monticello, from his daddy's house.
David Hume didn't go to William and Mary College, did he? He's over in Scotland.
But the same teachers were in both places.
Same teachers who were around during David Hume's time, they were also teaching at the College of William and Mary?
Yes.
Well, they were around for a pretty long time. Were they like Jefferson, who were able to go in and out of worlds at their will?
Yes. They were all at Shadewell.
Does Shadewell sound familiar to you, Bob?
No, I never heard of it.
The plantation where Jefferson and his family lived before Monticello.
They were all part of that? Part of the plantation, you said?
Yeah, all of his brothers and sisters were part of his family. Yes, every last one of them. Yep, they were. They were included. They were inclusive. They became a knit unit of one. Yeah, they did. They were all connected by the sperm of his daddy. Yeah, all of them. Yeah. He was great. And three sisters and one brother. And they were all brothers of the same mother. Yeah, and mothers and brothers and sisters. And nine. Mm-hmm. He was nine. He ran around the woods reading bookie books. Professor William Small.
John Stewart went to that college. You know, the comedian.
Well, speaking of Stewart, it says that Hume set out first to only write a history of England under the Stewart monarchs, James I and Charles I, which appeared in 1754. He followed this with a second history that continued to the Revolution of 1688. And with the success of those two volumes, Hume researched the history of earlier eras and produced a total of 6 volumes. The names of the first two were The History of England from the Invasion of Julius Caesar to the Accession of Henry VII. And then the volumes 3 and 4 were The History of England under the House of Tudor Volume 5 was the history of Great Britain, containing the reigns of James I and Charles I, and the last one, the 6th, was the history of Great Britain, containing the Commonwealth and the reigns of Charles I and James II. So history changes. We know that history changes. It's not said in anything.
That's because of George Wythe. That's because of George Wythe. He took out John Marshall and Henry Clay. That changed everything because it made Governor Francis Farquhar very nervous because Scotland was a monarchy at that point. Remember, maybe.
Did you say George Walsh?
Wythe, W-Y-T-H-E. Oh, wait, let's do this for Bob. Bob. W-Y, as in yet, T, as in Tom, H, as in horny, E, as in energize.
I didn't get that. I'm just joking.
George
I'm not even writing
Wythe.
It down. What's he, who's he talking
George
about?
George Wythe.
Wythe? Good.
Okay, so those books that Hume wrote, they were about like the other houses that you the names that you mentioned, like House of Tudor. Did he have it right? What he was writing, was it somewhat accurate? Because most of that took place before his time. So was he able to like parallel world and see?
No,
what
but Peter was.
Peter who?
Jefferson.
You guys are... What the hell? Is Ian left? Being very silent. Let me go over and check the inventory.
And he'll go dive into the sleigh. There'll be rows of clover over and over. Well, walking down at the Easter parade. Can't have dead air on the radio, Bub.
Thank you. Yeah, keep singing.
Go back to the New School Zoo review. It's all good. The Land of Sid and Marty Croft. They were ball brummers.
What does that mean, Ion? That's in Billy Joel's song.
It's a person.
Bo
Brummel. Mm-hmm. You could really be a Bo Brummel. He was a fashion designer. This is Jermaine Kick. If you get a pair of pink sidewinders and a bright orange pair of pants.
Can I continue with my questions?
As long as you bring it up to the Prince Regent and King George IV. Okay.
Okay, I'll try. Ion, last night you mentioned Ottoman and you mentioned Gateway, and I happen to have those two words in my notes. Did you know that?
You do.
Okay.
The indictment is that we had to get you to this far to get this far.
Oh. Well,
it's like when Bob starts. It's like when, you can, it's all right, but it's like when Bob brags about how he's been doing this for 72 years or 99 years or ever. Well, he's still a pedophile because Carolyn is like a tenth of his age, so just saying. Well, just saying. I mean, I'm just saying. Then he brags about it, and then it was like, no, it was a three-day trip. It took you 40 years to get to a desert that you could have walked in 3 days. Don't argue for the limitations. But go ahead. Ottoman Empire.
Chateau de Villandry, well, it says that it was finished in 1536. Is that so, Ion, or was that chateau never finished?
Still not finished. Today it's not finished.
Okay, so it was...
they haven't even finished the window seals. It's ridiculous.
Oh. So when people go touring in them, those last touches that they do, they've done them recently, or?
You go and look, and they don't have window seals. There's not sashes, there's no window seals. So you can do it any way you want to do it. You can live in it. You can make love in it. You can squirt jizz on it. You still don't have window seals. Like, the house ain't done yet.
Okay. this chateau was the last great chateau built on the Loire.
No, no, that's not any. I guess it's the last one because it's still not finished, but there's others that will be built that will be in your recent, more distant future history. You have no idea how this really works. You keep talking about history like it's some stack of playing cards one after the other, but every time you turn around, every time you start setting mystery down, you shuffle the cards. No, you shuffle the cards. And then you wonder why the next card comes up is not a six of diamonds. A six of diamonds, how can it possibly be six of diamonds? It's the fifth castle on the fourth row of the last one. No, a king of clubs, it can't be a king of clubs for Pete's sake. There's no way a king of clubs is going to come up here. But every time you make the step, you shift it and then you shuffle it. And then you wonder what happened to happen.
Yeah, so what's wrong with you, Eliza? How did you not know this?
I changed the history.
Eliza, for my notes, what castle do I say I'm? What have your notes been about since I came back?
Eastern Roman Empire is what she's trying to get you to. Yes, it is.
Yeah, but that's not. What'd you call it?
If it doesn't include the Byzantine Empire, then we need to move on.
Yeah, we're coming to it. Bob, this is about the Chateau de Valendry, but in the chateau, I'm getting to it. So it says that, you know, the grounds has geometric patterns, hundreds and thousands of plants, Italian influence brought decorative ponds and fountains, and harmonizing all the elements was an innovation of the 16th century Loire Chateau. So they say that they were the first to harmonize the elements, fire, earth, air, and water. I don't know if that's accurate or not. But in this chateau, there's an octagonal-shaped room called the Oriental Drawing Room, and it's notable for its ceiling. It took a year to reassemble this polychrome wood ceiling. It combines Christian and Moorish art. And just a quick description of it, the Franciscan cord, scallop shells, floral decoration, and royal heraldic coats of arms intermingle with tracery gliding and Arabic inscriptions to form a harmonious alliance. The paintings displayed below the ceiling depict four scenes of an Ottoman gateway, which is now Turkey. They are a reminder of the Marquis de Castel's diplomatic career.
Istanbul.
Oh. Okay, which is now
Also in Turkey, which is Istanbul across from Greece, across the other Black Sea.
How do you spell the Vandalier?
Okay. It's Valendry. V as in Victor, I-L-L-A-N-D-R-Y. Valendry.
Thank you.
So, you're welcome. The ceiling depicts four scenes of an Ottoman gateway, which is now Istanbul. They are a reminder of the Marquis de Castellane's diplomatic career as French ambassador to the Sultan under Louis XV. So the octagonal-shaped brooms and the thousands of plants brings to mind Jefferson. Did he have a part to play here, maybe as Edgar Ryleman?
Well, yes, not as Edgar Ryleman, but yes.
Because he has great interest in plants and horticulture. What was his role with the chateau?
He got the money from Bob.
I was bankrolling so much, Eliza.
He still is, and he doesn't even know how his ice cream gets done. It's so funny. He doesn't realize that Lappert's was bought and paid for and owned. It's still owned by Bobby. They laugh at him, not because he puts the money in the tip jar, because it's his goddamn ice cream. It's his ice cream. And he goes like he's paying something, and it's like a test. Every day it's like a test to see if they're going to be there for work or not. If they're going to be there.
I did notice
meanwhile, he could come in
yesterday.
And he just come
they
in.
Were and laughing. Like, oh. I saw them laughing behind my back.
Of course. It's kind of like, that fool doesn't even know he owns the joint. It's just so cynical. He looks at everything and, like, make sure it's clean. He's looking, is everything clean or is everything not clean?
It's been everything so low clean, to be at the top clean, for 5,000 years. I'll do anything to pretend I'm normal.
Right. Anything. He borrows little people. He borrows little people and they pay people to come in there to look like it is. Just one a day, not two. Just one a day. But now, Bob, tell them about the sprinkles. They pile all the extra crap on the top. You also provided those too, and you didn't even know about that. It's so it's in the nuts and all the crazy stuff. You can put all the stuff. Get some wet walnuts. That's what you need. Wet nuts.
Yeah, I act surprised that they were redesigning the place. They were rebuilding the tables.
And he says, y'all got to clean this place up and remodel it. They remodeled it. He blew his brains out because we went down there. The store was closed. He closed it. He closed the joint. He closed it. And then turns around and it's very, very, very sideways that it was not open for his perusing enjoyment.
Is the place closed now, Bob?
Oh, no. That didn't last for about 30 minutes, but it's ship-shaped now, don't you worry.
Okay, Ian, I want to know, why does the Ottoman Empire come up here? Why is it mentioned here, and what significant role does the Ottoman Gateway play here?
The Byzantine, not Ottoman, the Byzantine, the new Rome. You can't kill Babylon without putting it somewhere. Before you had us the place to have Constantinople overcome, that's what you've got to step over. You're stacking the cards, stacking the deck, back and forth, up and down, coming and pitching and catching, and then wondering why you're sore.
Okay, the Byzantine Empire. Bob, did you catch what Ian said? Bob, Babylon had needed somewhere to go.
Oh, you got to unmute Trina, Bob. Refresh your holodeck. The goober snatch is screaming.
Don't ask me to fucking pay attention.
That's awesome.
I'm too busy figuring out. I'm calling up the store to find out, do I really own this store? I'm shocked. I can't cut.
They won't know. They're like, well, if Mr. Dean, if you don't know you own the store, then we're not sure we're qualified to tell
you.
There it is. We don't know. We just need the signature says something like.
Aren't you Carol Dean's husband? Yeah.
Aren't
you called Bob Dean?
No, Bob Mean. It's Bob Mean. Bob Mean. That's a new thing. We killed the eight bodies and we ended up with Bob Mean. Hello, Mr. Mean. Mean, Bob Neverett, Bob Neverett, Dean Mean. Mean. Bob Mean.
Bob Orsini, Jean Maria, Contini, Pietro Spazzello, Parley.
Effigili. Ophanel Hobab II, Raphael, Duke of Arrington, and Duke of Arrington, and the Duke of Earl. Don't forget the Duke of Earl.
Bobby Potato Head.
And a coat that he borrowed from James Dean.
Anyways, what did he say? Okay, Eliza, I've retained control over my mind.
Okay.
I kicked that bad Bob out. Me, Bob, we kicked out. I'm back. Now, what was I supposed
to
notice about
Bob.
Byzantine Gate? Dick Dobbs, Bob's evil brother, took over Bob Dobbs' head.
Bad Bob took over.
And then I started talking to Dick Dobbs, and I lost control. So what is it?
And he's been shrooming ever since.